Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Most weeks before the scripture reading, I share a show and tell, something that I think connects to life in the world today and the scripture reading that we will share together. Well, my show and tell today is this stack of birthday cards that many of you sent to me to celebrate my 40th birthday on Friday. There are some specific thank yous to come. I won't name my favorite birthday cards because pastors are not supposed to play that game, but you know who you are. I've been told that Covenant had an in-person party for a pastor's 40th birthday a few decades ago. Hi, John, if you are out there this morning. It was wise not to gather in person this year, but we look forward to being together in person once it is finally safe to do that. We are celebrating Covenant today. We celebrate Covenant Sunday this week every year. And later on, our gift of music is going to include some images from Covenant's history, some old and some not so old. We celebrate Covenant today. I celebrate you today. Thank you so much. Thank you for your connection, for your care, for me, for each other. This is part of what makes Covenant so special. And as we come to our scripture reading this morning, I invite you to join me in a prayer for illumination. God of abundant life, your grace is our daily bread. Nourish us by your word and fill us with your spirit so that we may grow in faith and love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On Covenant Sunday, we are also beginning a new trip through the Bible. You may know that the second half of the Bible, way back here, tells the story of Jesus and the story of the early church. The first part, the part that we call the Old Testament, tells ancient stories of God's relationship with the Hebrew people. And we start there for the fall. In fact, we start at the very beginning, which I've been told is a very good place to start. We begin in the book of Genesis with some creation stories. We will read origin stories all this month, and then around the middle of October, we will turn to the stories of prophets who point God's people to a new beginning. This story from Genesis chapter 2 tells of the origins of humanity. These are the descendants of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the human from the dust of the ground, and breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and put there the human whom God had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the human and put them in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the human, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the human should be alone. I will make them a helper as a partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the human to see what they would call them. And whatever the human called every living being, that was its name. The human gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field, but for the human there was not found a helper as a partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the human, and they slept. Then God took one of their ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the human, God made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's scripture reading points us to a wisdom about what we know that humans need. We recognize what we need today in the ways that we need connection, we need care. As we look at the world around us, we see wildfires and hurricanes and hurricane force winds in Iowa, reminding us how we need to serve and protect the earth, which God has created us to tend and to serve. But we also know that as we continue with this need to keep our distance from each other, physical distance from each other, we know that the need that goes along with that points to some relationships that we really deeply need. As we find ourselves divided and separated not only by infection control protocols, but also divisions over politics and priorities and just the everyday vulnerability of life, we hear that word from God in the scripture reading today. It is not good for humanity to be alone. I enjoy that line for where it appears in the story, as if human companionship were somehow an afterthought from God. It's not, of course. But the story invites us to hear it that way. The story tells us that God made humanity in order to till and keep the Garden of Eden. By the end of summer, sometimes it can feel like you are the only one in the whole world trying to tend and weed if you've tried to keep up on this very good summer for weed growth. There's a universal human experience in that when we are working so hard and so focused on what it is we need to be doing, it can feel like we are alone in that. And then God gives that first instruction, God's showing humanity, the first human, around the Garden of Eden, and shows that human, okay, there are all of these trees, and you can eat from any one of these trees, except that one right there. And then God immediately realizes, it seems, that the human should not be left alone to follow this rule unsupervised. Parents, you've been there, right? Well, God has too, as it turns out. This is, I think, the first comedic scene in the Bible, as God tries to figure out how to make another human. God goes back to the dirt, that same material that the human was made of, and God makes something, and it comes out a cow. So God tries something else, and that one turns out to be an egret, and that's no match either. So God tries again, and that one's a dog, and we're really grateful that the first human was not so bright and didn't recognize a good thing when they saw it, because that way we get to have more humans instead. We have to be patient as this story plays out. It's easier to make a matching set of just one thing, but God finally figures out how to multiply humanity. And humans got what we needed. We needed someone to partner with us, someone to sustain us and challenge us as only a human partner can. Humans can recognize each other as partners made of the same stuff, someone we can be vulnerable with without shame. And many humans of all genders recognize in this story the story of their own need for intimate relationship. Not that everyone needs to find a physical intimate relationship. No one story can tell everyone's experience. And besides, human relationships don't stay mutual and unashamed for very long. You're going to see next week how even this beautiful story can go sideways. But brokenness and sin don't undo the fundamental reality of human life, the fundamental reality that we need love from a human in order to show God's love to us. That's part of why we begin with this story this year, as we move then toward the story of Jesus that will come in due time, because Christians find the ultimate story of God's love in the life and death and resurrection of a human, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, made into human flesh for us. That's not an accident. As God said way back at the beginning, it is not good for humanity to be alone. And that's why Jesus' story doesn't end with just that one human, even if that one human is God incarnate, because that story continues as we live out God's relationships with us as the church. I see covenant finding ways to be there for each other, to give God's presence and love to each other, despite the ways that everything about this year tries to pull communities apart from each other. I see you call each other and send cards to each other, the shepherds in a very organized way, and individual members on your own terms as you are moved to do so. I hear you call me to check on each other and to share news that your pastor needs to know about yourselves and about each other. Sometimes you even go visit people in person. Please, always, when you visit each other in person, do so with masks and physical distancing and ideally outdoors. I pray that you know this by now. I'm not comfortable with in-person gatherings at the church with the current level of COVID-19 numbers here in Polk County. But I know that part of what we make room for by keeping distant from each other as a group is your ability to provide that direct care for each other when you need to. And you also are reaching beyond covenant, beyond this worshiping community as we're gathered here remotely this morning. You reach beyond covenant to serve members of covenant's family that you may not even know because they participate in a different way than you do, or members of covenant's family who are part of a group that ordinarily gathers in our building, like Head Start or Alcoholics Anonymous or Toastmasters. I've seen you give to your neighbors in San Ysidro to provide food and medication because this pandemic is hitting the impoverished parts of this world especially hard. And I see you give beyond yourselves to cross outreach, to Meals from the Heartland, to youth emergency shelters and services. I see you show up for a work day in Cedar Rapids or show up for neighbors right here in West Des Moines to care for each other. I know that we give beyond ourselves because we also know that deep down we know it's not good for humanity to be alone. It is always better for us to be together, whether in person or virtually, to be together in mission and in partnership for the sake of this world God loves. I am so grateful for all the ways that we can do that, and grateful for the life of Christ to which we bear witness every time we reach out to one another. Thanks be to God in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
As I have said, this Sunday, the Sunday after Labor Day, typically marks the beginning of our program year at Covenant. It's not safe for us to gather in person for a big Covenant Sunday celebration, but we are still beginning some of our regular activities online. We asked some of those who participate in those regular activities what it is they love about Covenant, what does Covenant mean to them, and here are some of their responses.
Covenant is my caring Christian community that provides friendship, fellowship, education, music and worship, and the opportunity to do mission work.
Covenant means a safe, friendly environment where we can together share in the Spirit of God and support each other in every way.
The first word that I thought about in connection with Covenant was caring. I definitely feel like we care about each other, as well as organizations and people within our community and around the world, most notably El Salvador. And we put our caring into action by giving and doing.
Covenant is having fun by learning about God.
And to me, Covenant is faith, friendship, and support.
Covenant means a lot to me because they are friendly and caring people.
What do I like about Covenant? It's not all about me, it's a mission church. We help others, whether it's the Faith and Grace Garden, kids' charities, senior living communities, or families in El Salvador.
We are mission.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.